Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hey everybody, this is Klaatu, welcome back. In this episode we're going to talk about Chiuta. Chiuta is a river goddess, and she is also known as River Mother, or She Who Takes and Gives. She's also referred to as the goddess of rivers, swamps, and water dwellers. Chiuta's main worshippers are people residing around rivers or seasides, and she's often associated with swamp and the murky lands around water. Her alignment is neutral, and this is largely why she is associated with both giving and taking away. Her domains, her major domains, are animal, plant, repose, and water. These are all, as you may know, standard domains in Dungeons & Dragons. Water, plant, and animal certainly are all in both Pathfinder and 5th edition, while the repose domain came to Pathfinder from 3.5, and it's a little bit like the death domain, and I'm assuming in 5th edition it just kind of got overtaken by the death domain because a lot of the abilities are the same. But the idea is that you see death as a sort of natural state and a natural reward of a long and good life. It's the antithesis, really, to being undead, is the appreciation of death. So that's the repose domain. Her subdomains are ancestors, decay, feather, and souls. She has a favorite animal. It is the crocodile, which seems a little bit Egyptian to me almost, and a favored weapon, which is a sickle, which kind of makes me think of Illyria in a way. So the legend of Chiuta, she's a dual-natured goddess, so because she grants life in the form of a river or a body of water, and in the form of rain, and everything that comes along with that, whether it's fishing or harvesting things that grow along the river. But she takes away life as well, with storms and floods and deadly water creatures. So she is both revered and feared in a way. She guards her lands from outside attacks, causing waterways to shift in confusing ways and leaving invaders unable to find her chosen people. She is often depicted in native art as a dark-skinned, almost feral woman, wearing a necklace woven from water reeds and bones. So she's very tribal, and the ancient stories identify her as the first female tribal chief, and legend has it that she sacrificed her life to protect her people from some army that time has long since forgotten, arriving with the lost gods. Her body sank into the swamp, rose again as the spirit of the river, and so she became one of the first native gods of Porphyra. Her origin story is reflected in the way that the native Chiutans treat their dead. They bury their dead, or they submerge their dead, I guess, at low tide in the soft sand or mud around whatever body of water they are near. And of course, when the tide rises, the body is taken away. And it's part of Chiuta's domain to ensure that the body decays properly and quickly, and is used to feed the waterways and all the life that goes on inside of any body of water. The spirits of the dead are said to inhabit the reeds that grow in sacred pools, and indeed these plants seem to respond to the words of Chiuta's clerics. Great warriors are said to be reborn as shambling mounds that both defend Chiuta's people and enforce her laws. Chiuta, being tribal as she is, really has no temples. Wherever her clerics happen to be is considered a sacred spot, and there are sacred places that have been consecrated depending on a certain tribe's traditions, such as maybe an isolated, smaller body of water where they pray and commune with the souls of lost warriors. Chiuta's worshippers are typically tribesfolk living on the banks of some great river or a swamp, although fishermen, river guides, and smugglers frequently offer her prayers as well, because they know that the bodies of waters such as these are her domain. Culturally, Chuta is quite significant because she spans a lot of different races. Illyria, I don't feel, for instance, I don't feel like you would come across that many non-humans or maybe non-half elves or halflings. That persuasion of races worshipping Illyria because she's a human from a human village doing human things, but Chuta typically spans several different races, and you will find gnolls and orcs who follow Chuta. But most followers of Chuta, regardless of race, typically are fairly isolationist. They try to avoid outsiders and kind of stick to their own tribe. Followers of Chuta also have an interesting relationship with lizard folk. While the reptiles don't worship Chuta themselves, they do accept her followers as tribes members, and they'll work together with tribes members to defend their territories. The lizard folk are able to navigate Chuta's waters freely without fear of getting lost or encountering the plant monsters that often attack non-worshippers. Boggards hate and fear Chuta's followers and attempt to harass them at every turn, but will not enter a head-on war with them, and in fact they'll often choose to migrate away rather than engage in open warfare with followers of Chuta. I'm fond of Chuta as a goddess and the culture that springs up around her. It's very, very intriguing to me, especially, I guess, because of recent developments in Magic the Gathering. The Ixalan deck was re fairly recently, as of this recording, released, and of course the Jungles of Chult in the Dungeons and Dragons universe has recently been ex has been the subject of much exploration. So this fits in with that atmosphere, I feel. I find it particularly intriguing right now, and you really kind of just want to get in there and find out what kind of spirits are lurking around those rivers. And even without the jungle setting, it does speak, I think, of sort of a possibly a Nile-like environment of ancient Egypt. Or even if you wanted to really go far out, you could even imagine sort of a fantasy version of the Louisiana Bayou, with all the swamps and sort of swampside back porches on little shacks, with who knows what kind of witchcraft happens inside of those houses. It's quite intriguing. I really want to get on a little boat and row down a river of Chuta, possibly with a worshiper of Chuta on hand so that I don't get eaten by a big plant. But it's quite inspiring and intriguing. The spells and rituals of a cleric of Chuta revolves around, as you might expect, water. And there are rituals handed down by the clerics for all major activities, from bathing to fishing to harvesting plant roots, and of course to burying the dead. These rituals, as well as the daily preparation of spells that a cleric must perform, always includes at least a simple washing with fresh water, while chanting a hymn to Chuta. So that can be a problem if a Chutan priest travels very far outside of the wetlands and finds water difficult to come by, especially since the failure of performing these rituals correctly is often associated with bad luck. Some of the mechanical aspects of Chuta for a cleric of Chuta would be the riverborn trait. You are most at home at the water's edge. You gain a +1 trait bonus on craft, boats, and swim checks made on or around freshwater, and swim is a class skill for you. Scaled Friend, your tribe is allied with the lizard folk, granting you a +1 trait bonus on diplomacy checks with lizard folk, and Draconic as a bonus language. That's all I've got on Chuta. It's kind of interesting because this one, the Chuta legend, stems once again not from the ether. You know, she started out as a normal human being, as legend has it. So she wasn't born of God or anything like that. She rose into godhood. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.